We're going to talk about the Sharon Stroke Support Group, and we welcome Melissa to the radio. Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. So now, let's get a little background on you for people that are listening and that might not know about you and your career in medicine, and especially at Sharon Hospital, a little bit of background information.
Sure. So my name's Melissa Braislin. I've actually been at Sharon Hospital since 2008. I just had my 2003. Excuse me. I started in 2003. I'm like, because it's been 19 years. I am a speech pathologist by training, and I oversee the rehab department now, which is OT, PT, and speech therapy services. And I also oversee our outpatient cardiology department. And in addition, and the reason why I'm here is I also am the coordinator of the stroke program. And that I've been doing since 2008, which is as long as we have been a stroke center. And so I'm here today to talk about stroke. So, I live right nearby. I live in Kent, and I've worked at Sharon for a long time, and I love working here, and I love what we do here. So,
well, it's interesting when we talk about strokes. When I was growing up, and people talked about strokes, and when my mother got elderly, she went in for some tests, and it found out she had mini strokes. I call them mini strokes, but they were TIAs, and she had indication of a lot of them. And that was a really good advance warning, because later on, my mother did develop a stroke, which she fully recovered from. But the warning signs were there with TIAs.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of risk factors for stroke, but TIA is a warning sign. And I can explain briefly. A TIA, or what's called a transient ischemic attack, is essentially, like you said, a mini stroke. It is a small clot that clots somewhere in the brain for a very short time. And then usually that clot either dissolves or sort of lets loose and the symptoms go away. But if it happens like that, then the chances of you having a stroke do increase. The symptoms or the signs of a stroke, which is something else that I would love to talk about, so that we know what to do when someone's having a stroke. We try to teach people the acronym BEFAST, BEFAST. And what that stands for, B stands for balance, and everything with stroke is sudden. So if someone's having a sudden change in balance or difficulty walking, that is a sign of stroke. The E stands for eyes, and eyes meaning difficulty seeing out of one or both eyes suddenly can be a sign of a stroke. F stands for face. So if someone's smiling and there's an asymmetry there, if one side is not moving well, that could be the sign of a stroke. The A stands for arm. So if one hand or arm feels numb or weak or can't move it, that could be the sign of a stroke. S stands for speech. And speech means two different things when it comes to stroke. It can mean the clarity of what you're saying. So sometimes people will say, oh, I feel like I'm talking like my tongue is thick, or I'm drunk. Like the speech can be slurred, or it can be that the words aren't coming out correctly. So they want to say something and it's not coming out that way. And then the T stands for time, because time is brain. With stroke, once that stroke happens, the whole goal is to get rid of that clot as soon as possible. So that's our acronym for knowing, so for remembering the stroke signs. It's BEFAST. Those are stroke signs. And so if you're with someone or you yourself are having symptoms like this, you do want to seek emergency medicine quickly. So this is not a time to call your doctor and say, hey, by the way, my arm went numb and I haven't been able to move it for a couple of hours. This is the time to seek emergency care. And the reason being is that there are a few treatments for stroke, but they need to be done quickly. And there's only one medication that can be given for an acute stroke. And that medication has to be given within 4.5 hours of when the symptoms started. And so there's definitely a time crunch, and it's a very strict 4.5 hours of getting that treatment.
We're speaking with Melissa Braislin talking about the stroke support group. You know, it's interesting. I think what the problem with stroke up until the past couple of years is when I was growing up a kid, even as my early years in radio, when you did something wrong and you got upset about it, people would say, I don't have a stroke over it. And, you know, it was strokes were feared, but they weren't talked about, and people didn't realize the ramifications and the many indicator signs, and that there were also those mini strokes about. It's a totally different game now, 15 or 20 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, you bring up a good point. So stroke has gone down the list of causes of death in the United States, but it is still the number one cause of long-term disability. And that's why we really want to get the word out about knowing the signs and getting emergency care right away, because the sooner you get treatment, the more likely that you'll have a better outcome.
Now, what does a stroke support group do? Well, I mean, is it for people with families that have stroke? Is it for people to inform people before? I mean, who should really come to this support group?
Great. So that's a good question. So our stroke support group is held weekly on Fridays at noon. It is done in person 3 days a month, and 1 day a month it's done virtually for people who have trouble getting here. And essentially it's for people who have had a stroke and their caregivers. So oftentimes it's the person who had the stroke, and sometimes their spouse or their child, or sometimes it's just them. And it's just a way to sort of get together, talk about what's going on, how they're feeling, you know, be able to share ideas, things that worked for them. We do often have people come and speak to the group. We may have the pharmacist come and speak to the group, or we'll have a physical therapist come and speak to the group. We'll have different people come and talk about different things that come up related to stroke. And it's a great group. And it was tough during COVID, because before COVID we had the group and it was in person, and then COVID hit and we didn't have the group for a while, and we knew we needed to get back to it. And so initially it was just virtual so that we can get people connected again, because some people who've had strokes really have a tough time getting around. And so there was a disconnect and they were at home, and so it was kind of fun helping some people who don't use a lot of technology figure out how to use Zoom and how to connect and whatnot. And we're happy starting the early May, the group got back together in person. So, and that's been another great step. But we do hold the virtual class because there are people who just still have difficulty getting out of their house. And one person moved away and he still joins our group on that virtual day.
What's important about this is the fact that what you're talking about the TIAs with my mother, because she had and was not, and they discovered the TIA, she was visiting my brother and she had a stroke, and right away he got her to the hospital. She lost use of her left side, but within a week and a half she regained the use of that side, and also within 2.5-3 weeks she was home and she was walking and doing everything normally. So it was really important that the warning signs were there. Everybody was heightened to it. My brother was heightened to it, his family, and they got her to the hospital very quickly.
Yeah, I think that's a great story that shows the power of time. Like, really, you need to move quickly. And, you know, the hospitals are set up to know what to do once they get here, you know, and the right number of therapies and the correct medications, and you know, everyone on the team is given education all the time whenever there's changes or updates to make sure that we're providing the highest level of stroke care that we can.
You know, and people should take this seriously. A year ago, I had just my yearly checkup, but the blood test came back with a very high D-dimer for me, okay? And my doctor called me immediately. I mean, it was significantly high. He said, I want you to get to the hospital now. And he didn't tell me why, because he probably didn't want to get me nervous. And he had called in a whole, well, they checked, everything indicated that I might have had a stroke. Mm. I didn't. I came out perfectly fine and well. But that's how important it is that a doctor would actually hunt me down and say, get to the hospital now. I'll set up everything in advance.
Yeah, and you know, even speaking of some of the visual ish trouble that people can have for stroke, which isn't the most common, and for all of us, you know, if you have trouble with your eyes, your first thought is not, "I think I'm having a stroke." Your first thought is, "I should probably go see my eye doctor." And so often, our the eye doctors in the area will send people over, like they'll be doing an exam and saying, "Oh, this is not visual. This is in your brain. This is a stroke." And they will send patients right from the eye doctor over to the hospital. And so, yeah, we obviously work closely with our community docs because, you know, stroke is not something, an acute stroke is not something that can be cared for in a doctor's office. The acute piece, that first couple of days, needs to be managed, you know, in a hospital. To do all the tests and make sure that the patient is or the person is getting on their way to recovery.
Well, the thing that scared my doctor was that I was complaining about being very weak. I didn't have any strength. I couldn't walk very well. And then he got the blood test back. And you know, he just said he wasn't going to take any chances. He wasn't going to take any
No.
chances. And like I said, I was only in the hospital for about three hours with all those tests and then released when everything was cleared. And I'll tell you what, I know I feel better.
That's right. That's right.
I feel better about it. But once again, let's go over the information on how people can join these support groups.
Sure. So the stroke support group, if anyone has any interest, please call the therapy department at Sharon Hospital. The phone number is 860-364-4065. And the person who runs the support group, her name is Katia Schultz. And so please feel free to call and we can give you the information. And you know, if it's in person, we'll give you the information for that. And if it's just for virtual purposes, we can send you the link for that meeting too. And it's a really a great way to just get together with people who have had a stroke. And as you know, everyone looks different who's had a stroke. And so when they come together, you really get to talk about the differences and what one person may have, and they may have support for someone who's one person may have difficulty with their hand, one may have difficulty with walking, someone may have difficulty with speaking. And so they can get together and really share their feelings and what they do to help, you know, get over and move forward.
Melissa, thank you for taking a few minutes and joining us today.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me.
All right, take care.
Yeah, thank you. You too. Have a great day.
All right. That's the stroke support group at the Sharon Hospital that we talked about today on Robin Hood Radio.